plate a potential nugget.
The other quote that stuck with me in the book, Harish, in one of the stories, you speak about Gandhiji coming to Jamshedpur in August 1925.
Yeah.
And in his speech, you quote that Gandhiji says, "My identification with labor does not conflict with my friendship with capital." And when I think about the Tata Group, in a way, it seems to straddle these two worlds effectively. Can you talk a little bit about how the group walks the tightrope?
So firstly, let me stay on the story you just mentioned of Gandhiji in Jamshedpur. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed researching and then narrating the story. I enjoyed reading the long speech that he delivered in Jamshedpur and why he went to Jamshedpur and what he saw there and what he said. You know, you're quite right. One of the quotes is what you mentioned just now, that even though I've been obliged to range myself seemingly against capital, capitalists have in the end regarded me as their true friends. And he says, my identification with labor does not conflict with my friendship with capital. But there's another powerful quote in the same story, Deepak, which has sat deeply in my mind. And this is the, you know, towards the end of the speech that Gandhiji delivered in Jamshedpur in 1925, he says, "May God grant that in serving the Tatas, you will also serve India and will always realize that you're here for a much higher mission than merely working for an industrial enterprise." What a powerful statement that is. You know, it must have moved every member of the Tata Steel family who was present in Jamshedpur listening to Gandhiji that day.
Hmm.
And it moves me and many of my colleagues in the Tata Group even today. So that's a beautiful story, Gandhiji in Jamshedpur. I think all of you who are listening to this podcast, even if you read one story in the book or two stories in the book, read the story of Jamshedji Tata and Swami Vivekanand. Read the story of Gandhiji in Jamshedpur. You know, these are two amongst many stories in this book which exemplify what the Tata Group is all about and why it has, you know, continued to do very well and prosper on its voyage.
Hmm. And maybe just exploring that quote, identification with labor and conflicting does not conflict with the friendship with capital. I'm curious about where you see the tension, Harish, in the day-to-day workings of the group.
So I think you know, Deepak, let me go to another story from Tata, hashtag Tata Stories, to actually explain that. And why where is the tension and how the tension can be resolved. And let me go to story number 8, the crash at Empress Mills.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Empress Mills was the very first industrial enterprise established by Jamshedji Tata. It happened in the year 1874. So it was a long time, before us. It opened on the 1st of January 1877, more than 140 years ago. Empress Mills soon became a very, very profitable business enterprise. Why? Because Jamshedji Tata decided to use the highest quality of cotton. He established this mill in Nagpur, which was in the midst of the cotton growing area. Therefore, the quality of the products that he produced was widely respected from this textile mill. The second thing that he also did was he innovated. He brought in place many manufacturing innovations which were not even being used in the UK at that time. For instance, he brought in place the ring spindle, which substantially improved the output of the factory.
Mm-hmm.
And so Empress Mills became a very profitable enterprise. However, what he did simultaneously, so that was the use of capital, I would say. He used capital very wisely, or in today's phraseology, his capital allocation to the right things within the mill made it a very profitable enterprise. And if you look at profits alone, By 1920, the total profits of the Empress Mills were 50 times the original capital. Shareholders had gained splendidly and so forth. But what Jamshedji Tata also did is that he pioneered a number of initiatives for worker welfare in the Empress Mills. In 1887, he introduced a pension fund, the first of its kind in India. 1895, he established an accident compensation fund for its workers. 1901, he introduced something that all of us take for granted in India today. He introduced for the first time ever in the country a provident fund scheme for his workers. He introduced gymnasia for his workers. He introduced a creche. Empress Mills established a creche a few years later for the children of it, the women who work within Empress Mills.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asked to explain why he was investing so much in worker welfare. And speaking in 1895, perhaps the only long speech of Jamshedji Tata which I have cited my eyes on, he said, "We do not claim to be more unselfish, more generous, or more philanthropic than other people. But we think we started on sound and straightforward business principles, considering the interests of our shareholders are our own." Note what he says. "The interests of our shareholders are our own, and the health and welfare of our employees, the sure foundation of our prosperity." So if you look at this statement, which was made more than 140 years ago, you see the equal emphasis on making capital work well for shareholders and at the same time giving back to employees and making that the sure foundation of our prosperity. That is the philosophy which I think Deepak has been running through the Tata Group. Even today, if the Tata Group is known as a corporation which is fair to its employees and takes care of its employees, it is also known as a business corporation which delivers splendid shareholder returns to its shareholders. So empirically, over the last 153 years, I think the voyage of the Tata Group is proof enough that there is no inherent conflict between capital, the use of capital in the most efficient manner, and ensuring that some of the benefits of that efficient use of capital flow back to the people who have actually made that happen. I think 153 years is a long time for empirical proof points.
Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com.